Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have with us the great Gary Ginsberg. We got him, we persuaded him with a lot of money and effort and love to stay over for the next little bit so we can cover the rest of this story and the other two stories. Now, Gary, you were talking about this Russian sub that presumably is leaking radioactivity or has the risk of leaking radioactivity in the Atlantic and I guess that's where it mainly is, the Baltic and Atlantic ports.
What about exactly, and you something called the Barents Sea, which is off of the north coast of Russia in the Arctic waters, that when those subs eventually corrode out, could spew a bunch of radioactivity into the fishing grounds and affect Europe's fish supply. So, and then I brought up Fukushima because of that accident, we've now cottoned on to the idea that we need to be testing fish for radioactivity. But it's just not being done widely. You know, I look at a lot of fish contamination data from things like mercury and PCBs, but rarely do we ever see any radioactivity data, cesium or strontium or other radionuclides tested for in fish. And I think that's going to be something in the future, in the soon future, that we need to be thinking about doing. And Fukushima has shown us the reality of needing to do that. Fortunately, the Pacific has not shown a lot of radioactivity coming from Fukushima getting into fish. Whether there'll be a slug of it down the road, we still have to monitor.
That, to me, the scary part is that a lot of our fish are now being threatened. What kind of fish are most likely threatened? Is this radioactivity because it's heavy metals go to the bottom, and is it the bottom eaters as well, like tilefish and tuna, or is it does it go to low levels on the top and we can get it from all of our fish?
Yeah, no, it'd be more likely to be in things like tuna, large fish that eat other fish and higher on the aquatic food web. And yeah, you're right, heavy metals would tend to be something that's not real high in the water column, but would be onto particles and then get into the small planktonic species and then go up the food chain. So, no, if you're eating a small fish, it probably wouldn't be a big deal. But, you know, the bigger predator fish like a swordfish in the Atlantic or a tuna fish in the Pacific would be more of an issue. But so far, we don't have any evidence that those are actually radioactive. So this is something that needs to be vigilant in the monitoring.
Let's talk about the L.A. condos next. Talk to me about the L.A. condos. Why are they a problem? And it's beautiful to look at downtown areas, and there are a lot of freeways in the downtown areas of L.A. now.
Yeah. The L.A. is going to be the poster child for this because there's so much roadways, and the developers are running out of nice high-rise locations. People are worried about skyline and their views, also the airspace around their apartments. And so the place where developers are freest to develop is right along the freeways, but that bumps into people like me who, you know, in the public health world, you don't want to be putting children and pregnant moms living right next to a freeway. They talk about putting in better air filters into these units, but as soon as you open the window or open the balcony door or go out on the balcony to have a cookout, you know, you're breathing in L.A., not only L.A. smog, but you're breathing in the closest, the freshest smog of all the particulates that are coming straight off the highway right onto your balcony. And I would imagine that there would be a pretty good buildup of soot as well on your windowsills living that close. So these are basically overhanging, just about overhanging the highway. I mean, you could almost, drop your cereal bowl onto a passing car. They're so close. So,
now, they do this already in New York. They do this already in New York, don't they? I mean, when I've gone by the FDR, it looks like right. The buildings are reaching out to grab us. Is there a rule?
As a public health measure, you don't want to put children, you don't want to put schools, you don't want to put daycare centers, you don't want to put residential units that close. And so at least 1,000 to 2,000 feet away, 1,000 feet is roughly, a fifth of a mile, is the minimum that you'd want to put housing. And unfortunately, with, again, how expensive real estate is getting, developers are seeing that as a place to put people.
Now, the other thing, Gary, is there a standard, a building standard for where they have their air intake for these high-rise buildings that are right next to, at least it seems right. to me, are right next to highways, and you spend all day there working, right? I mean, you're...
Right. If you're in an office building with, a major HVAC system, and where's the air intake coming from? It's probably coming from the roof. And the roof is going to still be very close to that highway. So that's not going to, it's not as bad as if the air intake was, right from where the toll booth is, but it's still it can be pretty noxious. And, you can put some filters in to filter out the particulates. And in a major office building, they probably do a pretty good job of handling the air, but in residential condos, you don't have those kinds of industrial air handling systems to take out all those particles.
Now, do particles go up? In other words, if the intake is on that roof, do particles go up? I mean, maybe they do because you see smog above you.
Of course. Yeah, particles are so far. Now, we're not talking about big, large-sized particles, because those will tend to hit a building and go wash down. We're talking about really fine particles that are microscopic in size. They will surround a building. They will envelop it. Up on the roof.
Boy, you're giving me scares. Now, Japan did something maybe good. They banned e-cigarettes. Do they allow regular tobacco in Japan?
No, yes, they do allow regular tobacco, and they didn't ban e-cigarettes, but the Ministry of Health in Japan just commissioned a study which carefully looked at a number of different brands of e-cigarettes and compared it to regular tobacco, because Japan is trying to figure out how to regulate e-cigarettes. And they found that the levels of acetaldehyde and formaldehyde, two carcinogenic aldehydes, that come off the vapor, that come off these e-cigarettes, is 10 times higher than what's in tobacco smoke. So, and the levels of formaldehyde in tobacco smoke are significant. It's when you get that burning sensation in your nose when you're around a smoker, that's the aldehydes. And so saying that they were able to measure 10 times more of those aldehydes coming off of e-cigarettes. Now, of course, the tar is going to be lower from an e-cigarette. There shouldn't be any tar coming off of an e-cigarette. So that's better than tobacco. But e-cigarettes, I've never been a big fan of them, because I think that they're not being used to wean people off of nicotine. I think they're being used to addict young people to nicotine, the opposite. They do have a potential role if they were used as a smoking cessation tool, but they have to realize that they also carry some carcinogens with them, and these two 10 times higher than cigarette smoke.
We just had a half hour of the greatest in Gary Ginsberg. These are wonderful stories, great ideas, because you told us how to protect ourselves as well. The great Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Superb stories. Thanks. Connecticut is lucky to have you. We wish we had you in Ohio, too, to help us protect against ALS from the blue-green algae. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, passionate show. We've got some great stories coming up. Stay tuned and stay well.
The It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things. And it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.